On RSN 927's Racing Pulse, welcome to The Verdict.
What does tend to happen in racing is one out, one in. The Preble story, I find it terrific. It's going to be a great story throughout the spring.
Brett Preble, who's been at the absolute top, success at the highest level, and then you come back and you're scraping for rides at Coleraine, and it would be incredibly hard. As he said, he's humbled by it all, and maybe it makes you a better jockey long term.
They're human, they made a mistake, and they are all carrying this terrible weight of what everyone has said. They are now entitled to support and empathy.
It's great to hear that the Premier of Victoria is talking about racing in a positive light, saying, yeah, get yourself jabbed, get the vaccination rate up, and you can be getting to an event like the Cox Plate.
Ben Mellon, where's his career at right now? He's just returned from 5 months from a gambling suspension, kicks back off in late May. Here we are in late August, and he's out for another 3 months.
It's great to have the company of Matty Stewart and Mick Sharkey. Good morning, gents.
Morning, Mick and Mick. I was up late again watching the European stuff as well. The European racing was amazing, and we'll touch on that a bit later as well. But was Novak in your... Well, yeah, it didn't matter because you got bowled out on Saturday. Well,
just another odds-on favourite that's got rolled. Sharkey, did you... Thank goodness, Giannis, for the RSN Friday Form followers. Lord, you helped us get out of a little bit of a hole, but it was a tough day at the office.
It was, yeah. You had to probably pick the eyes out of it a little bit, didn't you? Flemington can bowl up some roughies. It seems at every meeting we get a bit of a rough result there. And we had a couple of them at Flemington on Saturday, but good racing in Sydney. Animo back and winning. Probably not as destructive as some would have hoped.
It's but soft.
Maybe the Golden Rose and the Guineas are a little bit more open than people had.
Matt wasn't a fan. We're gonna put that on ice because Matt was not a fan.
How can tweeting that he was solid not be a fan?
Hey, let's get to someone who was always solid, and that is Brett Preble after his amazing win on Saturday.
Tafane moves up on the outside. They lock horns. Then Aegon, Mount Popper, and down the outside, Sir Dragon A. Incentivised kicks at the 150 from Tafane. And they were followed by Mayunga, who's coming hard. Incentivised holding on from Mayunga. Incentivised makes a statement in the Group 1. Beat Mayunga, Sir Dragon A. Tafane.
He certainly did make a statement, and he has firmed further in the markets for the majors. He's now the $4.50 outright favourite for the Caulfield Cup. And Brett Preble, it's like a dream at the moment. Two Group 1s so far in the Spring Carnival, two Group 1 victories and a double on Saturday. Brett, good morning, mate. Well done again.
Good morning, Michael. Thanks very much.
You still pinching yourself?
Yeah. I wouldn't have thought this was going to happen 6 months ago, but racing it can turn around pretty quickly if you get back into form. So it's very nice to be on a nice roll at the moment.
You seem so relaxed, Brett, too. Everyone else was feeling the pressure of the weight of expectation of Incentivise, but I noticed behind the gates you were having a bit of a laugh and a giggle about something, so you were in a very calm place before the race. Just take it through it. I think the big question that we're going to get to with this interview is, what's next for Incentivise? Will he bounce off this? What are the little areas of improvement? He didn't seem to be quite on his proper leg. Take us through the race and where you think this race might take him for his next assignment.
Yeah, I think he's very exciting horse, and he's a horse that's got a bit of an extravagant action, I believe. You know, I felt him. He changed legs a few times for me, and got comfortable. I'm not worried about that at all. I think he wasn't slowing down. He wasn't going any slower, and he was keeping up his momentum, keeping his gallop up, you know, and he felt comfortable for me. So, you know, Caulfield's obviously a bit more trickier track. That's the only thing. A bit more tighter, and it's not always for every horse, but I think he's quite a smart horse, and he accepts things pretty quickly, you know, so... at the moment, I'm not too concerned about anything with him.
Brett, the unknown going into Saturday was how he would measure up to those elite horses at a mile. He's ticked that box, and in brilliant fashion, he goes to his strong suit now, I guess you could say, in his next two runs, doesn't he? Getting out to where we know he excels as this aerobic beast. Surely you would have just felt a little bit of that when he was challenged there on Saturday, that massive heart lung starting to kick in.
Yeah, when Craig sort of got to me, I hadn't really asked him. I thought I was winding him up about really asking him for an effort earlier. And then once he sort of got, he nearly got actually head and head with me, and then I sort of just give him a couple of bangs on the shoulder, and I felt him. He really came underneath me and started to get into his top gear then. And then I knew he was going to build. So I knew I had a fair bit left. Obviously, I thought there'd be more challenges. I thought she was going to be weak. So I thought she'd be weak. And she was a bit vulnerable, but he was just too strong and outstayed her at the end of the mile. And obviously, the fresher legs from back in the field come late. But, hey, you know, you look at Pastor Winterpost, 100 metres, 200 metres past the Winterpost, like, he is just standing in another 3 legs in front of him again, you know. So they had their chance. I didn't go slow and come through the tunnel. Boys, it might cut out. But I think he shows that he's obviously, what I felt when I trialled him, I thought he's a weight for age horse, and he proved that on Saturday.
Is he a might and power, Brett? Is he a horse that can just dominate from the front? You've only ridden him once in a race, or could he be even better if something wants to lead him?
Yeah, most of his wins have been a bit that way. He's been sort of sat upside one, you know, and helped him, and then he just builds and takes off on the 600, and there's no more competition left, and he drops them. So, you know, he's a type of might and power, if you in a sense, but he's not an aggressive horse. He's very tractable. He comes back, and he's a real lovely horse to ride. It's a pleasure to ride out there, and obviously a massive engine gives you a great feel. So he's just a very exciting horse.
I guess the question is whether he springboards off this, which is what most of us expect him to do, or whether that's the limit of his ability, but he just sustains it over 2,000. Are you expecting him to take this to the Turnbull and just put a gap on him next time? Is that kind of the way you're thinking now?
Yeah, well, what's gonna really rustle him? You know, what's gonna really put it to him? So, you know, he makes his own luck. He puts himself in the right position, and if they're going slow, if I want to go slow or go fast on him, or someone takes on it, he can stick good. So he's got really tractable. So 2,000, he's definitely really. I'm really excited about him over 2,000. I think he's I just feel he's away from age horse, and obviously he's going that way, and he's going into the handicap races. So he's obviously a young, very young horse, and it's his first real year at it. So. You know, we get through this year's escape. I'd hope to see what happens next year.
Well, the question's now going to be what weights you get, because most people thought maybe 53, 53 and a half. Matty, you've had a chat this morning to Greg Carpenter. How impressed was he? Did he give you any indication as to how much more that's going to cost him in the weights now?
Gave me indication without nominating a figure, that just saying, look, that was his biggest test. He beat weight for age horses. He gave us a lot more evidence to work with than we had before as far as what weight he might get. So if the theory is that he's around the 53 mark, I would imagine this would take him up to around 54 and a half,
yep.
Something like that.
What do you ride comfortably, Brett, these days?
Whatever the weight he gets.
Yeah, that's the right answer, always. It doesn't really matter, though, does it, Brett, the handicap? Because, as you say, this is a weight-for-age horse in waiting, and this is his season to play the handicaps before he really makes his mark in weight-for-age racing long-term, isn't it?
Depends who you talk to. You speak to Lloyd Williams, you say it doesn't matter. Weight matter in the Melbourne Cup and the Corker Cup, sure. If he's highly penalised, I'm not sure Bray and the boys would be that wrapped, and they might go to Cox Plate Park with him if they penalise him too much. So, you know, I think he's only a young horse, and weights do play a big part in these races, sure.
You don't want them going to Cox Plate, do you? You've got Probabil in the Cox Plate.
No, well, that's right, but that's racing, isn't it? I'm not a handicapper. I can't give him his weight, but he's such an exciting horse. There's plenty of ways I could go with him.
He was the most talked about performance on Saturday, but I think arguably your other winner was the run of the day. How did Ranch Hand win that race, Brett?
Well, I was in all sorts. Actually, from the barrier, I was in all sorts. They sandwiched him in. I was always going to be back a bit, but you just don't need to be losing 2 lengths bit at the start anyway. And I was really, I had to be patient because there was no choice, really. I couldn't jump him, and I got just a little bit of a sniff of a hole. And I knew he hit the first up, he'd really show a good turn of foot. So once he got his head in there, I was hoping the post didn't come up too quick, but it didn't. We just got there in time, but it was a very exciting win. This could be a good year for him. He's a young sprinter on the way up, I think.
Does it give us a hint that the Sydney form might have a bit on the Melbourne form in these 3-year-old races, Brett?
And it possibly could do, yeah. I think what this horse is, I think they went to a mile with him and looking at it, obviously, and the feel I got and what's underneath it, he's probably like a sprinter. So in the sprinting ranks of 3-year-olds, I think he's really put his hand up, this horse, to be reckoned with.
And Brett, this weekend, can the role continue this Saturday at Caulfield?
Oh, well, let's have a look at some barriers, can we please? That makes a big difference. But we'll get some nice rides now. So I haven't spoken to Liam this morning yet. I'm just on the way to Cranbourne trials to give Brooklyn Hustle a trial. So we'll see what unfolds.
Just on that, have you locked in anything? We know you've got Probabil. Have you locked in anything else that you know of, especially heading towards the Guineas?
No, I haven't locked in anything myself, no. Obviously, we've got Israel, I should be able to for the Guineas. But I've spoken to him in the Moya. She's exciting. Also, I've been wanting to get on her for a long time. So, the way she races, a lot of luck, but she's got a great turn of foot, and it's going to be nice to have a feel of her this morning.
Gee, it's incredible, the run. Speaking of the Rupert Clark, I was looking back through some old Rupert Clarks yesterday, and I had a look at Testarossa, who won in 2000, and lo and behold, you were the man in the saddle.
Yeah, there you go. It was a tough effort there. He fought them all off everywhere. He's such a game horse, and he's both fond memories of him. He's a good horse to me.
You're staying as well as what you hope incentivise, Will Brett. Well done on the weekend.
Thanks very much.
Well, it's about what happens next now, isn't it? You know, like, because all the anticipation was Saturday with who is this horse? Let's have a look at him. And now he's got to take it higher and further, doesn't he? Like, and I think what Brett said is right, and I think Daniel O'Sullivan will probably sum it up as well, is whatever he does now, it's just about getting over more distance. That was what happened in Brisbane. The further he got, the better he got, didn't he? He just kept extending the gallops.
And that was the vulnerability about him on Saturday. And I think that's why... I think anybody watching his replay and looking at the landscape as well, we're going to be without really strong European competition. We know that's where the strength is. Here's a horse that could be the best stayer in Australia. You hear Peter Moody talk about him. It certainly gives you that confidence that he could be that horse emerging. But as Brett points out, after Saturday, he's also a weight for age horse now. Mm. But he's a handicapper because he's so well in these handicaps. And that's the point I was making with the weights. It's not that it doesn't matter what weight he gets, but he's not going to get 58. You know, he's not going to be up that top. He's going to be in that real sweet spot of handicap, 53.5, 54.5, somewhere around that so many cup winners carry and win. And he's got untold potential as well as his ridiculous heart-lung capacity and the ability to sustain a gallop. Like, he was the strongest horse through the line there.
It was a beautiful ride. He got him fired up on the point of the turn because he knew that was his...
That was the way he was going to win.
His stamina was the key.
That was the way he was
going to
win.
But what Preble said was the most interesting part was after the line, just kept charging away.
As you would expect. So that's a great sign, too, going forward to a Turnbull and to a Caulfield Cup. And, you know, that's the path they'll take.
The sexier path is the Cox Plate, but it's not going to happen, is it?
Why would you when you've got very elegant? They're the same, largely the same ownership group. They're not going to race one gun horse against another.
They'll do a Might and Power. They'll run him in the Melbourne Caulfield Cup this year, come back for Cox Plate next year.
Aussie Care, Bray Sikorski, they want those big races. Here's a horse that is absolutely, he is here and now, Caulfield Cup, Melbourne Cup.
A man who knows his horse better than anyone is Steve Tregeo, who bred him and trained him. This is what he had to say about his thought of the win yesterday on Correct Weight.
That was what was so good about the win yesterday. I thought that he never looked overly comfortable to me, even though Brett said he felt comfortable. Compared to the way I've seen him race before, he just travelled off the bridle a bit. And the horse, you've got to pump him up on the corner. Well, Brett was kind to him and didn't do that, but I think as the races get longer, he'll travel more into the bridle and be able to build into his races even better. So, seems a bit crazy, but it might be that there's better things to come.
The one thing he has to do, if there's little tiny things that will complete the picture is he has to prove that he's as good left-handed as he was right-handed. Like, as Steve Tregeo just said then, he was a lot more comfortable right-handed naturally. He wasn't comfortable to his eye on Saturday, whether the horse learns a lot and suddenly becomes more comfortable. Because he did look like he was shuffling from one leg to the other a fair bit. So maybe around Caulfield, that's a little niggle for me, is whether he can get it completely right around Caulfield in a Caulfield Cup.
Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to get the ratings expert, Dan O'Sullivan, what he made of that. And I want to talk about the Beaten Brigade because, gee, there were some other good runs in the Maccabi Diva on Saturday. Welcome back to The Verdict. Daniel O'Sullivan is known as the best ratings man in the business. Be fascinated to see what he thought of the performance. And it's always great to catch up with Daniel O'Sullivan this morning. Good morning, Daniel.
Hey, Michael.
Now, was he as good in your figures as what we've seen throughout the Brisbane Winter Carnival?
On Saturday, incentivised, he ran 103 on my figures. So that's his equal second best performance. It's still about 3.5 lengths below his Tats Cup win, but it sort of equaled his Ipswich win, even though it was over a much longer distance. So I think that the key things to take out of the race is it really was the perfect return. I mean, he couldn't have possibly been expected to go any better than he did first up, running a 103 over 1600. We know it's well short of his best. He has certainly justified the hype. I mean, this is a stayer resuming off a break over a mile at Wake for Age and beating some pretty solid opposition, especially, you know, compared to what else is around at the moment. So, yeah, I mean, the future, he profiled as the most exciting stayer we've seen in a long time in Australia, and I think Saturday definitely endorsed that.
Daniel, is that 103 rating, was that what you expected going into the race? Did you think he'd put up a figure like that, or were you expecting a little bit more of a, you know, get back, run on, sort of tune up sort of effort?
I actually thought that, I mean, when everyone that did a map saw there was no speed, so I actually thought he would sort of race forward. He's just that type of horse. But I probably expected maybe 101, 102 at best type of thing. So that's why I say from that perspective, he's gone, as well as we possibly could have hoped for in all reality. We know that, as I said, he gets so much better over further. This horse just has gears and he can just sustain that. He still reeled off, you know, really slick sectionals there on Saturday. So he has a turn of foot. I sort of did a tweet out of Brisbane that he just shows all the traits of a seriously elite horse. It'll be interesting tomorrow what weight he gets in a Caulfield Cup on that hat.
We reckon probably around 54.5-ish or something. Can you project that rating to 2,000 metres now, just assuming he runs
24, a Caulfield Cup.
Yeah, or so to 2,000 and then to 24 and then on to the... So as he steps up in distance, do you just automatically expect that rating to go up to whatever figure? And if he gets to that figure, what does that mean about his Caulfield Cup rivals if he does improve it at 2,000 metres in the Turnbull?
Well, he has a reference there, the 2,400 at Eagle Farm, 108.5, which is about 3.5 lengths better than he went on Saturday first up. I sort of made the comment in the winter that if he ran to 108.5 and he was down in the weights in a Caulfield Cup, even with 54.5, I mean, you just win every year. I mean, that's a, you know, what he did at Brisbane was a proper, serious Group 1 weight for age figure. And horses of that quality that are, you know, well down in the weights in a Caulfield Cup, I mean, they're basically impossible to beat. Whether he gets to that 108.5, time will tell. But if we were to take a midpoint and just say he ran, he elevated to 106 in a race like the Caulfield Cup with 54.5, that would be good enough to win 9 of the last 10 years of the race that I looked back on this morning, with only Dunedin's win sort of rating about half a length better than that. So, yeah, I mean, those sort of races, that race really is at his mercy, I think. He obviously still needs to improve out of Saturday, but we're only talking sort of between, you know, 1.5, maybe 2 lengths if he was to get 54.5. And I'm sure Peter Moody would believe that he's got at least that sort of level of improvement. And certainly his performance in Brisbane, that rating, as I said, was 3.5 lengths better than Saturday. So if he sort of falls somewhere in that range, then, yeah, it's really his race to lose, I think.
Great to get that perspective. Just a quick one too, Daniel. Animo, can they beat him in the Golden Rose or a Caulfield Guineas off that?
Oh, look, I think he can still be beaten. 101.3 on Saturday. I mean, he was first up and you think he's only going to get better. So I think he's rightfully like a short, dominant favourite for both of those races. I think perhaps as much relevant is that some of the other three-year-olds are maybe sort of falling away a little bit. We saw Converge was disappointing first up. Question mark over Artorias, whether he'll, you know, can up to that level sort of next start would be him for the Golden Rose. You know, Captivant sort of underperformed on Saturday. So a lot of those horses that were, you know, sort of in the market, you know, are now going to be sort of coming off runs that were sort of below par by their standards. So I think if you were to combine the level of that Animo ran to plus, you know, a little bit of improvement and the fact that there's a query over some of the others, I mean, once we get to the day, I'd expect him to be even money or perhaps a little bit shorter.
Daniel, appreciate your time once again.
My pleasure, guys.
Daniel O'Sullivan joining us here with all his ratings. We'll talk to Vin Cox about Animo after the break, but just quickly, boys, and we will look at the rest of the Flemington meeting as well. I thought Mwanga was brilliant. What a great run for an Epson. Sir Dragonite, that could arguably have been his best performance, even though he won the Cox Plate last year. What do you make of Tafane, 1600?
She was solid, yeah. No excuses, really, as far as I saw. A couple of good runs sort of off Broadway, I guess. Both horses, I'd assume, would be going to the Toorak. Imaging and KI Nautique, they are going to be in a handicap mile right up to their ears.
Be good if he could get a bit closer, KI Nautique.
That's his racing pattern. Yeah. He won't be.
I thought he was flashing light run. Colette was good.
I thought she was really good.
Yeah, she was great. Yeah.
I think she just needs a wet track to win a big race.
If she gets a wet track Corfu Cup day,
She's the other one that's there because they gave her that season last year to mature with the aim of sort of upping her to a Caulfield Cup as an older mare, and she's in that spot now, and she's every step forward she's taking with purpose.
Aegon had an issue. It was a bit confusing. Originally it seemed like a bleed, but then it seemed like something a bit more minor than that. But whatever happened, he loomed to win.
He loomed to win, and then he just punctured.
So
I thought Explosive Jack was sneaking along the fence quite nicely.
Yeah, he was rock solid too. Yeah.
Run as well. Seeing is believing. It's good. It's exciting. And a lot of people know how much I like to pump up a good horse. Jeez, Michael, you pump up a horse. Comparing him to Might and Power. Steady on, Craig from Keilor. When I said, is he a Might and Power, it's more about his racing style than the actual calibre of a horse. Hey, in 12 months' time, though, we might be able to make a comparison. Who knows? What happens if he draws the widest gate possible in the Caulfield Cup?
He'll go forward easier.
Sean?
Caulfield worries me a little bit with him, with his... that he's not super-duper left-handed compared to right-handed. That's just a little query. I mean, he's not going to go around $1.30 in a Caulfield Cup. There's going to be reasons why people bet against him, and that's probably a little niggle for me.
And the last one, Sharky. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget, Shark left him out of the quaddie on Friday well. More to come on the other side of this. All right, boys, we can't ignore it anymore. We've got to rip the Band-Aid off.
Oh.
What happened to Artorias, Ingratiating, and Ayrton? The three punters' locks of the day. Let's start with Artorias. Matty Nevitt, our producer, has had a chat to Sam Friedman this morning. They said they were initially disappointed. He's come through the race well. They're still really keen to get him to Sydney for the Golden Rose, and that will determine whether they actually head to a Caulfield Guineas or maybe freshen him and bring him back to the 1200 of the Coolmore. He looked to the eye to have every hope, Sharky.
He did when he sort of eased out and got into that running line off the top of the corner and was still travelling so well, you thought, well, he's just going to quicken up and go past these. He did quicken up, but then he just sort of plateaued. That last 100, he was just there. Maybe it's the run that tops him right off, and 1400 next time we'll see him at his best and charging through the line. But expectation was there off the first up run that he'd breeze past those. Mr. Mozart, I don't think many would have seen him holding that horse off. Halal would have been the one to go based on the McNeil run when Artorias just ran past Mr. Mozart like it was nailed to the wall. Yes, a bit of a... the price says he was disappointing everything else, but this is, a step towards their target races, which are Group 1s, so I think they're playing the longer game.
Is he genuine? Is he 100% genuine?
Yeah, genuine?
He still races a bit quirky.
No, I wouldn't worry about that. He's genuine. He's got a turn of foot there. I just think this is a grand final stable training towards a grand final. And it wasn't Saturday.
He's probably still learning a bit too, you know. I suspect he's got a short, sharp sprint, not a...
That's probably an aspect too, yeah.
I think he's a diver rather than
Is he a 1,200-metre horse or is he a 1,600-metre horse?
I think safe for a late run 1,200. That's my thought. I think the Coolmore was more a race for him than the Guineas. Mr. Mate, there was always this little danger, 1,400 early in the day, Flemington, where you can't catch the leader. So
beautifully written.
The leader is a good horse, Mr. Mozart, too. So I don't know. We're easy to call horses money munchers, but I can kind of...
Well, when they start $1.60 and they've been beaten two times in a row at odds on, that's where that comes from.
Hang on.
Well, I think they're talking more about his racing style and the fact that he's getting rolled at $1.60, but that he's fading and not finishing off, you know.
Hey, none of these favourites that got beaten ran terribly, but when they're odds on favourites, there's a disappointment when they get beaten.
Well, Snowfall got beaten last night. Is she a money muncher?
Well, I think with Artorias,
she looked like she had every hope.
Don't you think with Artorias, though, that he's...
So did Artorias.
That he wobbles the longer he's asked to sprint, so you've got to save the sprint if you can. And that makes him vulnerable, because then you need certain scenarios where he can win. So maybe he's never going to go around at $1.60
again. I think the other thing is we all want one of these colts to be the big, dominant, standout horse, and, you know, is it going to be Stay Inside? Well, doesn't look like it at this point. Is it going to be Animo? Well, it was a workmanlike win first up off a setback on Saturday. Is it going to be Artorias? Oh, he's beaten. You know, we're all hanging on, waiting for one of these colts just to go wallop, 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 wallop.
When it's a good generation, most of them get beaten more often than they will.
That's right. I think that's more the point. There's a lot of depth at that top level of the colts at the moment. Apparently, you know, there's not a lot between these horses.
We want a hero. Some people do, but
you're looking at me.
They can't all be heroes.
Good to see Fred Kersley. Great ride. Yeah, good to see him back with a feature win. And I think I've got a little smoky that came through this race. And could we have another fairy tale? Turn it up, Tommy, for Dennis Pagan. I really thought he hit the line beautifully. He ran better than what his stablemate did in this same race 12 months ago. And he went on to win the Derby, obviously. What did you make of Turn It Up, Tommy?
Yeah, he was getting warm late in the race. He looks a little bit more dour to me than last year's Derby winner. I think I need to see a little bit more from Turning Up Tommy.
All right. We might have seen a Derby winner yesterday.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive win.
Nice run.
From Mick Price's stable, Gunstock as well. Second one that bit the dust. Ingratiating. It looked home for all money. Ranch Hand was just phenomenal. What do you make of Ingratiating?
I thought he ran well. He gave the winner 2.5 kilos. The winner was a bit of a left field run. You hear him after the race and you hear the stable talking about this horse, Ranch Hand, and they held him in very high regard last season as a 2-year-old. I think, you know, Ranch Hand, Giannis, Waller takes these horses up to Queensland. They usually slingshot out of that and have a really good spring. If you look back traditionally at,
dead set,
you know, Lean Mean Machines and Zoo Stars and Autumn Sun, you know, horses like that they've...
Ma used to have one up there as well who ran poorly at Eagle Farm, who I think it was by Frankel or something, who was similar to Ranch Hand. This might be the late crew that comes through, you know. So on face value...
He looks
value,
a good Cornwall horse.
Well, and on face value... It makes the Sydney form look a bit better, doesn't it?
Well, it does. Yeah, and it also reminds us all that some of these colts, you know, it's not always the top ones from the 2-year-old season that come out and have the best spring. So
well, they hardly ever
timing's
do.
Timing's everything. Mm.
All right, and Ayrton. Now, a lot of people wanted a bag. Johnny Allen set out 3 wide.
Ayrton was massive.
What did you make of the ride and the run? Oh.
He got caught 3 wide from 6. It's not easy to do, but when you watch the race back, you can see how it happened. And I think punters all sort of yell and scream, and, oh, why didn't he do something? It's in the heat of the moment. These jockeys are making split-second decisions. It didn't work out on Saturday. The horse was absolutely massive. There was a bit of a wind coming around that turn into the straight, and he was well and truly into the teeth of it. It wasn't a gale, but it was still a strong enough wind to make it difficult, 3 wide over 1,400, just to sap that little bit of energy late in the race. And that's exactly what happened.
Good character-building run for the horse, I reckon. Like, just an important run for him to have.
He fought so hard, though, Matty, didn't he? Like, when they came to him, he didn't just turn it up and sort of get swamped and get run over by a length and a half. He kept fighting.
And the price doesn't always reflect, you know... I know the punters get burned, but you take the run away from the price and... Nothing wrong with the ride. I mean, the die was cast. I mean, he just then decided, once he was there, he decided to just try and get him into a rhythm. And I was talking to Mick Kent Jr. today about the sectionals through that sweeping bend of fast, fast, fast sectionals and facing the breeze and working, and the speed was solid. So it all adds up to a very difficult assignment for Ayrton. And they are going to go to the Epsom. I think the weight's coming out today for the Epsom. And I think Glenn Boss is front and centre. Then they're going to decide if he's more of a 2,000-metre horse and whether the Cox Plate's a better option than the Golden Eagle, because they've also got I'm Thunderstruck, who's a better horse, trust me.
A better horse.
Odium, and there's that other one of theirs as well. So they've got a lot of horses going to the Golden Eagle. So I think maybe Ayrton might be proving that he's more of a Cox Plate horse than a Golden Eagle.
I know Ayrton getting beaten on Saturday became the story of that race, which is a shame, because Matty Williams and his team rehabbing Harbour Views, who's massive been win. A bit of an enigma. Like, there was a lot of ability there, massive Warrnambool win during the carnival, and he was off the map, and he sort of, he was that hype horse for a little while. He hasn't been without issue during his career. To come back from a sesamoid problem and be nursed back to a first up win like that, I think that speaks volumes of the quality of horseman that Matt Williams is and what he's capable of doing. And this horse now could catapult forward into a two rack or something like that and be a major chance. You know, he's a good animal on his day. That was probably, you know, we saw him back near the best of what he can produce. And, you know, it was a story that probably didn't get enough airtime on Saturday after airtime.
It could be a little McKinnon chance or something, Harbour Views, if it's a weak McKinnon.
Yeah, well, I reckon, and I heard Matt, I was interested in what he would say after the race, because we have seen him try and push out and chase Cox Plate Dreams and what in the past, and he said, oh, I think I've got it wrong. I think fresh 14-16,
yep,
where he can sit back off a tempo and really use that turn of foot. I think that's his go. So if it is, you know, he's another one that rolls into the mix of those handicap miles, which, you know, I know they're not the big banging races, but I love those handicap miles every year. I think they're just great contests, great betting races. He adds more depth and interest to those.
All right. So, Etten, do you think he's 2,000 metre better suited? Or
I think he's better at a mile.
You've been kicking up for the Golden Eagle for a long time.
Yeah, well, he looks that perfect horse to sort of be handy in a first four over a race like that.
Where are they going to run the Golden Eagle this year?
1,600 is going to be, I think that's his
sweet. I think I've had enough of Kembla Grange for the moment.
Yeah, I concur. I think they should be running that at Randwick, I suppose. A couple of quick ones I want to get through before I get to the SMSs. God, I love the Let's Elope. And Matty Raymond, what a brilliant training performance. Chirath, and now they're staring down the barrel of a $1 million bonus if she can hold it together, get it to the Empire Rose. And the Tassie mares, Mystic Journey, I know you had question marks. She was enormous Saturday.
She looked amazing in the mounting yard.
That's her back to her best, which is great.
She looked amazing.
And likewise, still a star. Ran a great race too. So that's a lovely little story too, going through the spring for those mares races, that Mystic Journey's back, you know, because All-Star Mile winner, the beautiful tale behind her racing career. You know, it's good to have those storyline horses back.
This is Matty Raymond uses the beach a little bit. She doesn't use the track much. She trains these horses off a little farm down near Warrnambool. She, you know, so, and everyone expected, you know, her to be at the end of her tether, Chirath, after a pretty busy sort of preparation, but she was as good as ever. This was an amazing performance. And now what does Maddie do? Does she think, well, there's a $1 million bonus if I can win the Empire Rose and I have to have a crack at it? Or if Chirath is telling me something else, do I look after Chirath?
So, well, time is on her side now, because we're still in September. So she's got the opportunity to give her a little freshen up, give her a couple of weeks. There's a nice series of races sort of back into Caulfield, into that Flemington Carnival, that she could have a little break, have a little bowl around in a 1,400. I think there's a mare's race, 1,400 at Caulfield during that carnival, and then roll back into that Empire Rose and chase that bonus. It is possible, given the time frame that she's got now.
And the Empire Rose will be harder, because you might run into a Probabil or something like that, but beating Mystic Journey and Still a Star,
sitting three wide,
it's not going to get a lot harder than that, is it, really?
That was a decent field.
Bloody oath.
Absolutely. Crystal Bound was good. Mm-hmm. I thought Dosh ran really well first up.
Yeah, Dosh was good.
Anything else out of the meeting, Sharky, we're looking to take forward?
There was an absolute mass of good runs. I thought Zatori with top weight in the Bobby Lewis was very, very good. You know, he's proven he's of that level. I think we've mentioned most of them.
Persan was good.
In the back end was good with 61 kilos. That was a really nice win. Floating Artist is sort of emerging, isn't he, as a horse that could find a sort of backdoor path into one of the cups through one of the lesser races. There's a lot of good runs for races down the track.
Yeah, it was just one of those days. It was brilliant to be watching it. A few of the SMSs from the listeners. Hi, guys. Floating Artist tipped as a watch by Dean Lester a month ago. Since then, he's had two wins. Well done, Dino. What are your thoughts on Gunstock's win yesterday? Could he beat Converge and Giannis in a derby? That's from Scooby. I thought he was really good yesterday.
I don't think Giannis will be going to a derby. Converge, he's your most likely candidate there. And he, on his winter prep in Brisbane, he's the benchmark, isn't he, if he comes out of that as well as some of these others have from Queensland.
Hello, Michael. Nice win. What's going on with the Airbnb jockeys? We'll talk more about that a little bit later, because I got their appeals. But they are allowed, I believe, now back at track work because their 14-day quarantine has finished. Sharky, how's your Japanese boy going at stud? Fierce Impact.
Yeah, good. Off to a very good start.
All right. Eton, Epsom, Golden Eagle, Cox Plate. He will get lapped in all of them. That's from Ted. Not happy with Eton. Harbour Views, Cherry Tortoni are milers. Don't push them out any further. Hi, boys. Public perception says a horse should win. It gets beaten by 0.2 of a length. Doesn't mean we should be dropping off them. They're all beaten by Bee's Whiskers, and they won. It'd be a different story. Just because they were beaten doesn't detract from their ability. That's from Deb. And then we have this one. Sorry, guys, the bubble has burst for Eton. He's not up to this class. That's from John. Tefane should have been ridden off pace. She's a better horse when it closes. And then here's another one. Geez, Matt, you're hard to please. Animo only solid. Now incentivise your potting. Someone mute him, please. Did you pot incentivise?
No, not to my knowledge. Well, we'll have a talk about Animo when we do.
We'll take a break now, and when we come back, we'll have a chat to Vinnie Cox, because the Blue Army, Animo, interesting to get his thoughts on ingratiating and Colette as well. Keep those SMSs coming through. We'll talk about the awards, Jamie Carr. We'll talk about overseas, the St. Ledger, the Irish St. Ledger. What impact will it have on the Melbourne Cup when it was run overnight? All that still to come on The Verdict.
Stay inside two after Animo, who's winding up now. Remarks going with him. Good finish coming up in the Congo, still in front. Animo on the outside is trying in the Congo. Animo, up you go. Goes home best to win the run of the rose. Just got there from in the Congo.
Nice call there from Darren Flindell, and Animo was certainly dominant. And I thought was pretty soft on the line, Maddie. Now, you've copped a little bit of social media flack over the weekend because your first reaction, what was the tweet you put out post-race?
That it was a solid win.
Nothing, not outrageous, just solid.
That was, but
it was.
He ran solid. Slower overall time than Intrevier, ran slower last 600, did carry 58.5. She only had 55.5, fair enough. He had come off a setback, so I'm happy to say, yeah, you'd probably think he'll improve a lot off it, but... He beat in the Congo. Stay Inside hasn't come up. Glen Eagles is second tier. Remark is a spruik horse who hasn't really done anything yet. And in the Congo is serviceable. So, look, I'm just saying it was a solid win. And he might go on and win the Golden Rose and so on. But was it anything more than solid?
This is what Dwayne Dunn had to say about him before that win on Saturday.
It's been documented, not the ideal run in, but I think this could be the Cox Plate winner. If they head that way, just maps so well. It's great profile, three-year-old into a Cox Plate. I'd love it if they went that way. They may shorten up and go back to a Coolmore maybe, but I think this horse could win a Cox Plate if they headed on that path.
And lots of three-year-olds have won Cox Plates, so...
Well, he's now even money for the Golden Rose.
Because as Daniel O'Sullivan said, everything else is falling away.
Well, that's my question before we go to Vin Cox. You said that there's a deep group of three-year-old Sharky. Well, reputation says there's a deep group of three-year-olds, but in reality, we're not seeing much this return campaign from them.
An even group. Well, Jarnus is there for the Golden Rose, isn't he?
Well, he's $15.
Man, that's good value, I say.
Is he going to the Golden Rose,
absolutely,
or is he going to the Spring Champion?
No, he's going Golden Rose, Caulfield Guineas.
Okay.
But all the hype after the win on social media was... whiz, bang, wow, superstar, megastar. Look, I just don't know. I think he's a really nice colt who won solidly.
You would expect him to have won that race. And the market told us that as well, that although he'd had an interrupted preparation, and not disastrously so, it was a minor setback, but the market expected him to go and win the race, and he did. So that's a good step forward, good tick from him. Remark was back to challenge him, and sort of did, like, tagged along well and ran on well, but Animo has shown he's probably a better horse in Remark. The market loved him as well. Animo will go into the Golden Rose's favourite. He'll run a mighty race. Is he unbeatable? I don't think so.
All right, well, let's see what Vin Cox thinks, because he is the even money favourite in the Golden Rose. He's now a $2.50 favourite in the Caulfield Guineas, and he's about the third favourite or fourth favourite in the Cox Plate. Good morning, Vin.
Hey, good morning, lads. How are you going?
Very well indeed. What was your summation? Was it a solid win? Was it better than solid? Does he deserve to be such a short price favourite in the Golden Rose?
Look, I mean, just touching on the race on Saturday, he was up against, well, there was four individual Group 1 winning two-year-old colts in the race. The only Group 1 winner as a two-year-old that wasn't there was Artorias. He, as as has been well documented. He had setbacks coming into the race. He'd only trialled the once, then he beat him. And I think the great thing about it was that J-Mac didn't get to the bottom of him, and, you know, he's a... Put it this way, I'd rather be owning him than many others. So he's going to be wearing the blue in the Golden Rose, and we're very comfortable with that position.
Dwayne Dunn said before the race that he thinks he's the perfect... I know this is leaping a couple of races ahead, Vinny, but he said he's the perfect Cox Plate three-year-old. Is that on the cards until it's not, a race like the Cox Plate?
Oh, look, I mean, yeah, Cox Plate is the Cox Plate. It's the pinnacle weight for age race in the country, and you know, you've really got to jump through a few hoops before you consider yourself a realistic chance in a race like that. But, you know, we'll go to the Golden Rose and more than likely to the Caulfield Guineas and see where we sit from there. And, you know, obviously if he doesn't live up to where we see him in between time, then he doesn't end up in the Cox Plate. But if he is a well-known phrase, ticks those boxes, then it's an option for us to consider.
Vin, is the Everest a realistic chance for this horse post the Golden Rose?
Oh, look, you wouldn't say, you don't say never, ever. But he is not, it doesn't, of the horses we've got considering for the Everest, he's probably got the profile that is least brilliant in that, you know, he's not an out-and-out six furlong horse. So I won't say he's completely unlikely to run there, but unlikely.
The Everest can be a bit of a campaign wrecker in some ways. I know it's worth a lot of money, but we saw what it did with Arcadia Queen and others. It seems like there's a logical three-year-old pathway for him that probably doesn't factor in a race like the Everest, Finn.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I just alluded to then. And, you know, the Everest is the Everest, and, you know, our business is three-year-old colts trying to win Group 1 races, and you know, we've got you know, a handful of colts that we think are pretty good, and we'll course a path that best suits them and best suits our business profile. And if that happens to include an Everest, then we'll consider it at that time.
And I'm assuming Ollie's been locked in for the Caulfield Guineas.
No commitments at this stage, but it's no secret that, you know, Ollie's he has been he's our go-to guy in Melbourne, obviously. And but yeah, no commitments at this point.
Vin, what about the run of Colette? She seems to be, you know, the plan to set up potentially for a Caulfield Cup this season. Is all going along swimmingly so far? Her runs back have been very good.
Couldn't have been happier. Yeah, you know, just was obviously the winner's a very, very good horse, and to do what he did, and he's the deserved Cup's favourite. But yeah, we're delighted with the way Colette's coming together. The track on Saturday didn't suit her. She does like cutting the ground. She got well back, but she ran home very, very well. And, you know, as I said to someone yesterday, in the old days, if you saw that sort of run, it would be red light flashing for a Caulfield Cup type campaign. Mm. So, you know, weight's come out fairly soon. So hopefully she doesn't get... I think she'd get a good, fair and reasonable race that gives her a good chance for us to have a good crack at it.
Vin, the Northern Hemisphere arm, it's such an amazing summer over there at the moment. Hurricane Lane, Adaya have been amazing, and they're heading towards the arc, and we saw Snowfall get rolled, and the Irish Champion Stakes overnight was just an amazing race. It's the Godolphin aspect of the European summer's holding its end up, and it's been quite incredible, hasn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic. You know, we like to be winning the top-end races anywhere, but the mothership, as we like to call it, is Europe, and when they're going well, the whole organisation has got a spring in their step, and some very, very good horses that they've got in the European arsenal, and to be winning Epsom Derbies and St Ledgers and having favourites in arcs is what it's all about in Europe. So it's just fantastic, and not to mention we've got Essential Quality, is probably the best horse in America at the moment, and current favourite for the Breeders' Cup Classic. So it's an exciting time at Godolphin. We've got a great bunch of horses that most of them, or a lot of them, will ultimately end up on the daily roster here in Australia.
Another one of those that you're hoping on the roster is Ingratiating. Were you disappointed with the run on Saturday? You still got the blinkers up your sleeve. Were you happy with it?
Oh, yeah, it was a good run. You can't help but think that that perhaps Ollie had had the horse they backed, Finance Tycoon, in his crosshairs, and once he had him rounded up, he went for home, and that left him sort of a bit of a sitting shot. But as you say, we've got options going forward, and no, we're certainly not disappointed. He's a pretty nice horse, and we've got plans with him, and hopefully end up in the Coolmore, and he'll be a competitive chance in that, no question.
All right, leave us with a statement, Vin. You're confident Animo's the best three-year-old in the land?
on exposed form, I'd have to say yes. But yeah, there's always a new kid on the block. But look, we're very excited to own him. We've got high expectations for him and ambitions for him, and we're expecting him to certainly fulfil some of those.
Good on you, Vin. Good to catch up.
Likewise, Scott. Thanks for the call.
Vin Cox joining us there from Godolphin. Anything else you want to talk about from Sydney? Obviously, your horse, Janus, that you're in love with. You think now he's a genuine Caulfield Guineas horse?
My word, he is. And Golden Rose horse. I think the point there that I take out of Vin's interview is we get caught up so much in these markets. You know, $1.60, oh, it's $2, oh, just wins. These big stables, big ownership groups, organisations, whatever you want to call them, they've got plans for these horses. As you said, ingratiating getting beaten on Saturday is not the end of the world. They want to win the Coolmore with this horse. That's the long-term play. That's D-Day for them. That's when
about
all the chips are on
race
the line.
Brains and race
My word it
and,
is. Yeah, you know, yeah, 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 yeah.
It's why the ratings
they don't have to win every
fluid.
Race.
It's why the ratings are fluid too, because the horse you see yesterday might not be the same one you see in 2 weeks' time.
And that's why when you get a dominant horse that just does keep winning, that's what makes them so special. Mm. Is that, you know, whether they're ready for that race or not, they're still too good.
All right, boys, we need to take a quick break. On the other side of this, we're going to talk about the Victorian Awards. A few SMSs coming through. I'll get to those as well. And as you said, a lot of the shorties continue to get beaten in a big weekend of overseas racing.
And it's Sonny Boy Liston battling with on the far side Twilight Payment. Baron Samedi's not quite out of it, but it's still hanging on Sonny Boy Liston. Twilight Payment, try as he will on the far side. It's Sonny Boy Liston who's being pushed clear up toward the line. And the Cromer Group St. Ledger goes to Sonny Boy Liston for Ben Cohen and Johnny Murta. Twilight Payment just failed again, Baron Samedi.
He's having some season, Johnny Murta, isn't he? Sonny Boy Liston, who was expected to make it out for this year's Cup Carnival. With every win over there, Sharky, it's probably becoming more and more unlikely.
Yeah, they had their chance to get him last year. Nobody saw the potential in Sonny Boy Liston. And you know, can't these horses go forward? You know, Johnny Murtagh's done an amazing job with this horse. He's believed in him from day one that he was a top-shelf performer, and he's proving that now. He's probably raced himself out of Cup's contention, though, Matty, you would think on that. An E-Ball winner, now a St. Ledger winner. His handicap's going to be getting up there. I think he's probably going to be out of reach price-wise for most Australians that were looking to pinch a proven product that was in the race.
Yeah, and the comments from Johnny Murtagh in the stories I read overnight were that almost certainly not this year. They're still interested in the Melbourne Cup, but probably next year. But just on that European picture altogether over...
Before you move on, Twilight Payment, I thought his run was really good.
Very
Sharky,
good. Yeah,
good
tough. Super
to see
tough.
Him back out here on Absolutely. The second shipment to defend his crown.
Yeah, great run.
So this really interesting arc picture. The arc's on the October 3, so it's getting closer and closer. So Snowfall got rolled by a filly that had been beaten by her by 32 lengths accumulatively in their previous two starts, called Tayona in the pre-Vermeer. So Snowfall's now out in the market a little bit. We had that incredible Irish Champion Stakes, which was just a phenomenal spectacle. If you haven't seen it, there's two bits that are phenomenal. One, when they nearly crash into the photographers on the head-on.
That's just outrageous.
Amazing. Absolutely
outrageous that the photographers are standing on the course. There were two things that, to my mind, looked a bit outrageous. The objection was not upheld.
They're weird like that over there.
Yeah. And they nearly skittled the photographers.
Yeah. Was that protest dismissed as well from the... So, in the most remarkable race we've seen... Just for sheer brilliance of watching the gallop. So Mark's Basilica knocked over Tanawa and Poetic Flair in the Irish Champion Stakes. It was only a field of four from memory, and it was game on from about the 1,000. And the vision is extraordinary. So Tanawa is now the equal favourite for the arc. So Mark's Basilica's $11. Snowfall's out the gate. So there's the shuffling around in the arc picture at the moment. And it's But if anyone hasn't seen those races we're talking about, have a look at Snowfall Get Rolled at Longchamp. Have a look at the Irish Champion Stakes. And, of course, Hurricane Lane won the English St. Ledger as well. And he's also right in the market for the Arc.
And, Sharky, from a Cups perspective, Sir Lucan in the English St. Ledger, he looked pretty disappointing.
Beaten 14.
And in the Doncaster Cup, Rodrigo Diaz on the Friday night, Tom, also looked a bit disappointing.
He was a bit flat too. And, look, connections of Rodrigo Diaz in particular would have been hoping that he could get closer to Stradivarius before weights to try and, you know, push his case forward and get an extra half kilo or so. It was an ordinary run from, you know, margin-wise. He's run fourth, but he's been beaten a fair way. Sir Lucan, I think the form that he brought into that St. Ledger series, round Ottoman Empire and the like, that looks like it's just a little bit off what's required over there. So I don't know if a 14-length run in a St. Ledger is going to be good enough for a Melbourne Cup.
In the Caulfield Cup, we're only going to have the one international, and it's so good that they're rolling the dice with Spanish Mission. That form around Stradivarius.
Massive.
Now, is he the only horse that could beat Incentivize and maybe Coletta if it's a wet track?
Look, I don't know about the
only horse. How does it work out around Caulfield Stradivarius for?
What do you mean?
Anthony Van Dyck ran enormous last year. I understand the comparison.
Stradivarius is a marathon runner on flat rolling tracks. I don't know how... I just can't see how Spanish Mission equates around Caulfield and the Caulfield Cup off Stradivarius.
I think he's the horse that will probably run really well fresh, and you'll be thinking, ooh, hello. You know, now at 2 mile at Flemington, this horse could be he's right in the conversation. I know the stable are confident that he'll run really well fresh in a Caulfield Cup, but he's going to have a good horse's weight, and he's got to beat a horse down in the weights, down in the handicap, that's going to give him a head start, I'd have thought.
And he's got to overcome the issues of coming out here and having an Australian-based stable hand or team look after him for the campaign as well.
You want to freshen up, because it's like having double trigger in a Caulfield Cup for mine.
Boys, last night we had the Scobie Breezes, the Victorian Racing Awards for participants. Jamie Carr won by the length of straight as expected, a record margin, 37 vote win over Damien Lane to win her first Scobie Breezes. She was also voted the MVP by her peers, and of course she took home the premiership. Very elegant after the Caulfield Cup win was announced the Victorian Horse of the Year. Ben Brisbane got the Colin Alderson for Young Trainers.
That's great.
He's been going really well.
Yeah, stable's building up
like
nicely.
To have a market on Matty Raymond for next year's Colin Alderson.
Yeah.
Will Price, the rising star as far as the jockeys were concerned, and then all the various premiership winners. This is what Jamie had to say last night, and I think in hindsight, thank God she was allowed to be involved. She spoke really well, covered the suspension, and then was unequivocal in her desire to come back.
It's, like I said, it was a tough few weeks. I'm getting better. I just wanted to say again that I'm so sorry to the people I let down, the owners and trainers that, you know, have booked me for some rides coming up, the faith they put in me, and I've let them down, I've let the industry down. My family in particular, they've had to read the media and the posts that people have been saying about me, and I feel so bad for them. I'll be okay, and hopefully we can get through this and come back better. Sitting out of this spring's been really tough because I really wanted to make it one of the best springs I've had, and I know there are going to be many more though, so it's really, like you said, fueled the fire. I want to come back bigger and better than ever, and there's so much more to do. I thought winning a Group 1 was going to be, you know, the career highlight for me, but I really feel like I could do so much more, and I want to do so much more, and hopefully next year I can, you know, have a crack at winning one of these medals again. I'm definitely not done with yet. I've got the hunger and the determination to keep going, and like I said, I can't thank everybody enough, and this is amazing.
Well, she knocked the "will she walk away from the industry" right out of the park question, didn't she? Multiple times, reinforcing the message: "I want to come back. I want to." So that was the main thing. Not the main thing. That was one thing. And the main thing, as you say, Michael, was for her own working her way through this process. It was so important for her, to her, that she was part of that on Sunday night. If she'd been knocked back, I just think it would have had a terrible effect on her ability to work her way through this this terrible situation that she'd put herself in and found herself in. So the fact that it was considered out of some weird paranoia from the industry that maybe it was inappropriate was a terrible mindset, and I'm glad that they were convinced to move on from that because It would have been ridiculous had Jamie Carr not been there, and it was totally
would have been a bigger media story if she wasn't there.
No, that's right.
Yeah, I agree.
I tell you what would have, I suppose, got rid of any of that discussion is if the actual awards are held a lot closer to when the end of the season is run. Now, yeah. I understand COVID played a little factor here, but I don't know about you, but me personally, I've kind of moved on. I'm now in the moment for this year's Spring Carnival, and I didn't have much interest, to be honest.
I agree with that.
That's the end of the season is when we want to celebrate that season's victories, not a month later, a month and a half later. Agreed. Why can't we have...
Why does it take so long?
I don't know. Why can't we have the awards penciled in for the Sunday after the 31st of July each and every year? The first Sunday after the season ends. It's a bit like having the Brownlow in... 3 weeks after the grand final.
The moment's
final,
gone,
a month
isn't it?
Exactly.
The moment's
We've
gone.
Moved on. We're now talking about this year's spring.
Yeah.
Now, it's not just the Victorian Racing Awards. The Australian Horse of the Year Awards are being held on October the 11th. Like, what's the care factor? And how's this just
well,
for...
half of the horses weren't even in the nominations.
What about this? Talk about a Racing Australia stuff up. They are
if I
having,
had a dime for every time I'd heard
they are having to... now, they sent out emails apparently to media and administrators last year for the votes for the Australian Racehorse of the Year. They didn't have Very Elegant. They didn't have Zaki in it. In the two-year-old category, they didn't have Converge or Captivant nor Ingratiating. I don't know who's stuffed up there, but they've had to resend the emails and say, oh, let's start the voting again and put the actual best horses in the voting category.
Well, might be an idea.
It's just left arm doesn't know what right arm's doing, typical for racing. And one other thing that I know we've been harping on this for a few weeks, and it appears the ship has now sailed, and someone sent me a grab from an ad, I think it was from Cricket, with a very targeted, specific, get vaccinated, let's all do this together type ad that's come out. My understanding was that Racing Victoria and Racing was onto this a few weeks ago. This is something, yep, we're doing that. The Airbnb thing might have sidetracked it a little bit. Where is the Racing Victoria, racing industry ad to encourage participants, especially given what's happened now with the COVID breaches in Sydney with the two Sydney trainers, which we'll talk about, the Canberra one. We're fraying at the edges, the racing industry. So the ship is sort of wobbly. Where is that ad that was supposed to be coming out, the campaign, the awareness campaign for people to, within this racing family, to understand the need for vaccination and get your vaccinations and get them up and remain careful and cautious. Where's that ad? Where's that campaign?
Well, I did speak to someone at Racing Victoria last week, and they said they've had issues trying to get the ad actually put together because of COVID, because you can't get a camera to a training centre, you can't get to
a
racetrack.
Plan B, you know?
So, I mean, and it's a similar situation with the actual promotion of the Spring Carnival. We haven't got a Spring Carnival promotion ad out yet.
No.
So, you know, things are being pushed back because of COVID, but we do need to work around those things and especially for the promotion, get that out there. Just on the jockeys, today's another important day, directions hearings, I believe.
Jamie Carr's directions hearings today regarding false and misleading evidence. Zara Brown, Malum Thursday. So
Did you think the defence of Ben Mellum's and Ethan Brown's barrister was a little bewildering? The analogy to if you'd been out to dinner with a group of people, someone sits down and has a drink with you, and then you go home and your kid asks you, who'd you go out or see tonight? And you don't mention the person who you had a drink, didn't have a drink with, or did have a drink with, doesn't mean you're a liar. Like, it was a bit like
a bit
the
weird.
Castle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was irrelevant to the issue, too. The issue is putting people at risk because of attending something. And so anyway, I think their defence is sounding a little bit wonky, as you wrote in your column on Friday in the Pulse. And if that's the line they're going to take, then, well, the stewards have asked for, Celine Gaudry got an extra
three weeks.
The stewards have asked that Mark Zara, for his role in not telling the truth, gets an extra 2 months with one month of that to be served a cumulative, so effectively an extra month. So that's what the VRT is going to consider with Mark Zara, and we don't know what the stewards' recommendation is yet for Ben Mellum and Ethan Brown. So I think, you know, trying to read the room and read the play on it, it seems as though it is likely, because of the penalty they will get for the false and misleading evidence, that by appealing, they'll get extra. They won't get it stay the same. They won't get it reduced. Their penalty will increase.
And the judge did make specific reference to that prior to it, saying that that is one of the options that they have available to them.
Yeah.
Boys, we did take a quick break. On the other side, we're going to wrap up a few of the things from the weekend.
Just on the Sydney situation with the two trainers. Yeah, yep. So it's a really curious one, given what's happened with the Airbnb down here. So John Thompson and Craig Carmody have been issued with the same general charge of a serious COVID breach. They live, Shark, get this for confusing, they live in a PRA that's regarded as a hotspot, a lockdown hotspot, but their place of work, Randwick Racecourse, is not. So they're going from a hotspot to a non-hotspot, and including to Racemix, to go to work.
Isn't that the situation in New South Wales at the moment? There's sort of the areas that are and aren't, and here and there.
So in order for these trainers to continue to work, and I'm not saying this is unreasonable, but this is how extreme some of the requirements are, they would have to have physically moved.
Yeah.
Home. So
what penalties are they looking at?
Tomorrow is when this case will be heard. And I just wonder how the Canberra party, the Airbnb party, with 3 months is the figure. What do the Sydney stewards do when they attribute penalty? Do they have to see that template major COVID breach and say, well, how do we deviate? Or do they look at different circumstances?
Surely you have to look at the circumstances. Yeah.
It's quite extraordinary, though, that were the trainers fully aware that they had to move home
in
order to keep
going
to work?
Well, imagine being in that situation. Yeah. I mean, and both Racing Victoria and Racing New South Wales, especially what they've been navigating through, has been quite remarkable what they've been able to do to keep racing, continuing and moving meetings and having the local government areas, which are in hot zones and lockdowns. I mean, it'd be an absolute minefield to try and navigate your way through that, which I think both Racing New South Wales and Victoria are doing unbelievably well. Just before we take the break, there's an article in today's Herald Sun too. The MRC continuing to try and lead the charge and push to get crowds at the Caulfield Cup Carnival fully vaccinated, rapid testing, mask wearing, and having your vaccination passport as well. So, I mean, it needs to be a government decision. Are they going to run out of time?
Clock's ticking.
They have to push, though. They've got to try. They have to do everything they can. They can't just say, wow, it's all too hard. We haven't got enough time. I love it. I love the fact that they're working hard to try and get something over the line. I'd love to be there.
But it's totally out of their hands, isn't it?
Well, it is, but it doesn't mean you don't put in the effort.
Sort of say, this is what we want to do, absolutely.
All right, quick break. When we come back, we'll be wrapping up some of the best runs of the weekend. Horses you might want to fire.
Just a quick one, too. Trainer from Sydney's just contacted me, too, regarding should they have moved house in order to fit into the rules. Not allowed to. You cannot physically, under the COVID rules, move house. So the hell are John Thompson and Craig Carpenter supposed to do?
It'll be interesting to see what happens at that hearing tomorrow. We'll take a break. More on the verdict coming up after this.
And it is Poetic Flair, St. Mark's Basilica. Turnow is on the outside. They're inside the final furlong. And it's St. Mark's Basilica, Poetic Flair and Turnow. The sprint across the track. St. Mark's Basilica on the near side of Poetic Flair and Turnow.
I don't get carried away with the animos of this world because I get carried away with that.
I love that call. Is it Jerry Hannon, Sharky?
Is
it? Just brilliant. Absolutely
the chips
brilliant.
Were down at the 1,000-metre mark. It was just a true contest. That's what is so amazing about their racing is it was, and then the wide-open spaces of Leopardstown as well. And Tanawa has retained its solid position in arc betting despite defeat. It's interesting that St. Mark's Basilica is double the arc odds of Tanawa. And Poetic Flair is just a superstar as well, but probably not a...
So how would Very Elegant have gone if they'd bitten the bullet this year?
Can I honest, without being negative? So if Very Elegant had been in that race, what do you reckon would have happened?
That race on the weekend?
Yeah, what do you think would have happened? That's a proper true test of European...
She runs fourth?
How far from the other three?
What was the track surface?
Good, I think.
Say it's...
It's an intense. Where would Zaki have been in that race?
Well,
the Australian Zaki.
Well, but is he really that much different than the European Zaki?
Well, I tell you what is good. We're going to get to see Zaki down here in the Underwood, and then that possible clash moving through to the Turek on the weekend as in a couple of weeks, possibly with Incentivise. Very Elegant goes to the George Main this week. Now, Sharky, speaking of her, it would be hard to see her getting beaten, wouldn't it, on the weekend?
You'd expect her to go and win that race, which is great because it just continues that build up towards this big Group One clash.
With Zaki out of it, what's the next favourite in the market?
I think it is.
With Zaki out of the
Think It Over, I think it is.
Yeah,
it's not going to be a big field.
I think Annabelle Neesham will probably be happy that no knock on Caulfield, but for Vazaki to have the Underwood at Sandown, wide open space is a real good gallop.
Perfect. You know? And the other advantage is that if he's staying down here for the month, he'll get a few track gallops out at Moonee Valley. He'll get himself acclimatised to that surface. I think it's a brilliant idea, a brilliant move. We're the beneficiaries. We get to see him in Victoria. But I think it's, if you're on Zaki in a Cox Plate, you'd be pretty happy with that decision. The highlight this weekend, and we saw on the weekend, Rothfire and Eduardo getting slots. Have a listen to the shorts. Nature Strip. This is Trav Noonan, who does a brilliant job each and every week. He puts out the likely fields moving forward for the upcoming Saturday. Nature Strip, Masked Crusader, Rothfire, Eduardo, Lost and Running, Gitra, Wild Ruler, all entered or likely to run in the shorts.
I reckon the other great race, and
it's a grass race.
Someone tweeted, I haven't got it in front of me, but the likely field for the Sir Rupert Clark.
Now, is I'm Thunderstruck going to get a run?
I would say 90% chance he won't. I've spoken to the stable and the ownership group who are now conceding that he probably won't get a run. He's going to still go to the Golden Eagle via, I think it's the Testarossa Stakes here, and then he goes to the Silver Eagle, then the Golden Eagle. They are in absolute raptures about I'm Thunderstruck, the stable. So we'll see what happens with him. But the Sir Rupert Clark Shark is often a bit of a Barry, a bit like the Oakley Plate. Sometimes you get a really long tail and you get a lot of those wintry horses.
Typical of a handicap, big handicap.
This is a monster, it's a good Sir race, Rupert Clark. You know,
The weights are going to be interesting. There's a bit of debate around what weight Bo Rossa will get compared to Behemoth, who is only just been beaten by the last couple. Probabil will be the natural top weight. Dala Sand's an intriguing runner second up as well, and so is a horse like Buffalo River,
but the weights,
likely to be there.
It is a handicap, right? So the weights are relevant to their handicap ratings. So he's a 107, Bo Rossa. He's a 107. So he's not right up there banging at the top like Behemoth, who's sitting on 115. He's got some weight in hand, Bo Rossa, and he's a Group 2 winner at his best in Adelaide.
If Behemoth can win it, he's a serious attraction, then, isn't he? Like, he just takes that little step, doesn't he?
We almost renamed this is the race that's had many names. Surely at the end of his career it becomes the Behemoth Handicap, because no horse has dominated 1400 at Caulfield like him in recent memory.
Boys, we've got a couple of minutes. Who are you firing from the weekend, Sharky?
You're fired.
I think it has to be the Golden Slipper winner. Stay inside. That's not. I didn't think it was a big call, Matt. But you've just dropped your headphones.
That was his teeth.
In shock.
That was just my general clumsiness. But I'm a stay inside man as well.
Okay, you're both fired. Okay, I thought you might have been able to get something different. Maybe you'll be different with who's on fire.
You may not actually.
I text Matt every weekend. Say, hey, don't forget, come in with a fired or on fire.
No, I've got him.
And he's like, I've
got him, but I'm just fearing that it might be the same as Shark again.
No,
I
won't be.
So I'm KO Nautique.
No. Right. Giannis all the way here. Just keep backing Giannis. Giannis is the Dory of the spring. Just keep betting. Just keep
all
betting.
All right, no worries. I'll just throw a little Smokey in there. I think Dennis Pagan could have another nice little hope in the Derby.
I thought you stopped drinking early in the mornings.
You said he ran a nice race.
Yeah,
as well.
He's been beaten just 7 lengths.
Turn it up, Tommy. Right now, a little each way. It's $26.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from.
Tomorrow, going to have a bit of a chat to Tom Sadler. He put out yesterday. He's joining forces with his old man, John Sadler, after retiring from the saddle.
That'll be a volatile relationship.
Yeah.
We'll get them both on tomorrow.
That'll be a short-lived partnership. No, only joking, Tommy. Only joking.
What's coming up today on the website?
I've done a nice, done a piece on the big stuff that happened in Europe overnight. Going to have a really good look at the complexities of the Sydney situation with these two trainers, what it all means. I'm just trying to, someone just tweeted a link saying you can buy, you can change properties in Sydney. Someone else saying you can't. That'll be a major focus there. And then obviously the jockey's direction stuff will be a prominent story as well.
Sharky, we'll see you on Friday.
You will. Tip the card on Saturday.
Oh, we need it. That's for sure after last Saturday. That's it for The Verdict. Don't go anywhere. Speaking of winners, that's what's coming up next.